This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
David here, your little ray of sunshine from Our House on Joy 94.9. The Our House podcast is sponsored by Solar Heart. It's not just solar, it's Solar Heart. For details, check out solarheart.com.au.
Welcome to Our House, Joy 94.9's program about where and how we live in our diverse community. We will explore all aspects of real estate, but please seek professional advice before making financial decisions. My name is David Gale.
Thank you, David. My name is Russ Masterton. Whether you're buying and selling, renting or sharing, upsizing or downsizing, or just thinking about where you'd like to live, this is the GLBT Real Estate Show for you.
It is indeed, and I'm Paul McClure, and there's one criteria for the music we play on Our House, and that is it must have something to do with houses or homes.
Ooh, that sounds good.
It does. We look forward to your questions and comments, so please send them in to us by email on air at joy.org.au, by phone 1300-JOY-949, or by SMS 0427-JOY-949. That's 0427-569-949.
So, of course, if you do phone 1300-JOY-949, you could talk to the gorgeous Gordon.
Gorgeous Gordon.
The gorgeous Gordon.
Oh, wee Mary McGregor.
Yes.
I hear there. On tonight's show, we'll be talking to Veronica Kipros, an Airbnb super host. How fantastic. About her experiences hosting Airbnb properties and all about Airbnb property insurance. Sounds exciting, right?
I'm a little bit interested. You've piqued my interest.
I'm very interested. Of course, we'll be looking at current rates in the marketplace.
And my favourite.
I know.
No! I can hear that song now.
And some of the sales over the past weekend in our rates check segment. And we will check in with Lance again on Days of Our Lance. New segment.
Ooh, went well last week. I liked it.
Yes. Yes.
Well, we're here to take a real estate journey with you. And we're not experts, so we've brought the experts in to share their experience and knowledge with us and with you.
You're listening to Our House on Joy 94.9.
Now for the most serious part of the show.
The most exciting part of the show. You can tell from the music that it's the most exciting part.
Well, I just danced my way back to my chair after listening to that fabulous song. Thank you, Paul.
I thought it was the theme. I thought it was the theme that was getting
I
you
think
off.
We should change the rate check theme to that. I'd like to put you away to that every week.
Brought back memories.
Oh, it did so many. Now listen. Listen, that RBA thingy met today. They met, and guess what they did?
Of course they did. I forgot all about that. I should have been focused on it. I was busy at work. Happy Tuesday. What happened?
6th of December, and nothing changed.
What a shock that is.
Yada. Everything sat, and it sits still for another year.
While we were away, while you were away, actually, we thought about
it. Tell me there wasn't movement.
No, because the Cup Day rates, the board meeting, the RBA board meeting, yep. They had all of the financial data from the previous quarter right up to the end of the September quarter. So they get the unemployment, they get the growth figures, the CPI, all those sorts of things that really are the serious contenders as far as influencing their rate decision. And there was no change in November. And I think, remember, Paul, we were talking about...
Yeah. And you mentioned...
There may not be anything happening until, you know, January, probably February before... Because it's that quarterly set of figures that really do weigh heavily on those Reserve Board governors.
I'm proud of you, Alan Colas. I really am. That's a good prediction from both of you.
But nevertheless, look, you know, sometimes things are happening in the economy and they go, oh, we've got to do something. Let's put them up, let's put them down.
Well, they are expecting... a negative economic growth figure tomorrow, which...
Really?
You know, I'm waiting for these to rise. I want the interest rates to rise, but...
Why is that?
Oh, I'm over it. I want something exciting to tell our listeners each week. However, they haven't gone up. Official rate is 1.5%. Our best rate this week is...
What do you got?
HSBC at 3.55%. Ooh. Now, David... You are our human calculator. I know that only too well.
Oh, what are you going to do to me?
I have decided that I've seen a wee little flat in East St Kilda that I am going gaga over. Not East St Kilda, excuse me, East Melbourne that I'm going completely gaga. $300,000.
Yep.
Okay. And I have a 10% deposit. Can you, based on this HSBC 3.55% interest rate, if I went and got a loan for $270,000, how much would my monthly
10% off, $270,000. Around about 3.55, probably about $9,500 if you just did interest only.
Yes.
And $9,500 over a year would be about $185 a week. So that's an interest-only loan.
Yes.
That's with your 10% deposit of $30,000. Yeah, it'd be about $9,000. Now, in rental terms, most people would be paying maybe a little bit tick over $184 a week. So if you paid $200 a week, you're already taking off some of your principal. If you paid $250 a week for this, it's a one-bedroom, I assume?
It is, yes.
So if you paid $250 a week, you'd be getting into your principal by, an extra $66 or $65 per month.
And the point is, we've proven it again, it's doable.
Well, it's sort of cheaper than rent in most circumstances. Now, I saw in one of the lower sales an apartment that we'll talk a little bit about when we go through those, but it was $298,000, and that is the $300,000 less 10% or 20%, depending on
And
who
the weird
you go
thing
through.
Is they're all over the city at the moment, and we will check those in a moment. However, rates this week, your cheapest is with HSBC, 3.55%. UBank is always there, 3.5%.
We've talked about them.
Loans.com, 3.39%.
We love them as well.
State custodians, 3.59%. So they're all around that 3.5%, which is fabulous. The only one of the big four that I'm going to actually look at this week is NAB.
I knew it'd be them.
They are constantly in the top 20 best loans around, and so theirs is 3.74%.
Two-year fixed, bonus starter. Or Rocket Starter, I think it's called, or something
Anyone
like that.
Anyone would think you're in the market.
No,
the way
I've been
you
listening to it. And, of course, while you're away, both Paul and myself, we were slaving over those rates just to find out where the best ones were.
I love you both.
So we've learned a little bit along the way, which is what this show's about.
Absolutely. I think it's a good show, and we hope we motivate our listeners to get out there and buy. Now, listen... This week...
Forget Christmas presents. Just buy a couple of apartments instead.
Oh, look.
What's been happening in the auction area this week?
Very exciting. As always, 1,094 auctions this week.
What was the clearance rate like?
79%, which is pretty good.
What was last year's clearance rate?
1,539 went last year at 65%. So, there's still like 500 properties that aren't on the market that were on there this time last year.
Well, whether they were up for sale or not, but at the same time, the difference in clearance rate is astounding, 65 to virtually 80%.
Yeah.
So there's less properties out there, but they're all getting snapped up. This is the height. We're getting towards the throes of the spring sort of property market.
Yeah, and
if you haven't sold by now, you're probably getting a bit desperate.
Well, I've got a neighbour around the corner whose sign has just gone up. I can't tell you.
I know
wait
whose
for
it is too.
I cannot tell you how much I'm looking forward to that open house.
I know whose house that is.
I think it's a friend of both of ours. Now, listen, 718 were sold at auction. 147 were sold before auction. 228 were passed in. 10 were withdrawn. So, yep, it's a good time to sell.
Tell us what about the top and bottoms of the market?
So
we love tops and bottoms.
Yes, I'm a top, and the top sales for this week were in houses, $5,100,000 in Hawthorn.
Well, that's probably a good price.
Can you believe that?
Probably a good price for what you're getting in Hawthorn.
My mother lives in Kew.
Far Kew.
Her suburb, outrageous, $4,350,000 for a house in Far Kew.
Did you flog off her house and she's going into a maximum security nursing home?
I only wish.
Hi, Mum.
Top flats this week. Mm-hmm. Malvern, $2,660,000.
Crikey.
Yeah. Rose Street in Richmond. What a gorgeous
Do you know where
suburb.
That is?
Yeah, I do.
It's a nice street.
It's beautiful. Okay. Beautiful. $2,250,000. The others in the top were Ashburton, Melbourne, Yarra.
Ashburton, where would there be a flat in Ashburton for $2,050,000?
You've got me on that. Mm. It is actually in Solway Street, Ashburton.
Okay, and Toorak Road, South Yarra, I saw there was one. How much was that?
$1,880,000. Wow. Yeah, so pretty good.
What about, let's go to the bottoms.
Oh, see, this is my favourite part. This makes me think I can
Well, you left the tops a moment ago, but where are the bargains in houses?
Okay, so the bargains in houses, rolling them off are Melton, Hastings, Whittington, Roxburgh Park and Hampton Park.
Okay.
Now, Melton South was our cheapest this week. $235,000 for a two-bedroom home.
Gee.
Crikey, that is cheap.
You what. Think of all the money you'd save on an inner-city house. You could spend that on trains and petrol.
I could go out there and open up a travel agency and you could open up a deli and we could move out to Melton South together.
I'm sorry for all the listeners that are out there, but I don't know where Melton South is. It's obviously south of Melton.
Well, this is the time we go to Paul and ask him where Melton South is.
So near Werribee Way.
It's a bit like South Morang. There's no Morang, but there's just South Morang. There's no east, west, or central. What about Central Morang?
I can't believe this is a suburb called Doreen.
What about the bargain apartments?
The bargain apartments, we digress as always. Mm-hmm. Now, these are the ones that people tonight should, get out there and
jump
buy.
On it. Yeah. Jump on it.
Braybrook. Does anyone know where Braybrook is?
Footscray Way, I think.
Thank you
very much. That is our cheapest apartment for the week, $268,000.
$268,000.
That's good. My old hometown of Port Arlington.
Ooh. How much?
Oh, now, Port Arlington listeners, your sweet listeners, is a lovely little town. I grew up down there, and they've got a great pub where you can get a chicken parmigiana. It's beautiful.
I've had the chicken parmigiana out there.
It's a beautiful little
Tell me, how much was the apartment in Port Arlington? It'd be a flat anyway.
Yeah, $280,000.
Wow.
Now, there is one that caught my attention. It is flat number two, 5A Rusden Street in Elstonwick, which isn't far away from your place, Paul. It's not far. It's around the corner from McDonald's. You keep going down the highway and then there's that set of lights and then you turn left.
What has piqued your interest on this?
Well, I checked it out. Yeah. It's a little red brick block of flats and Anyway, and it's a one bedroom, one car park space. It's got a carport. It's got one bathroom. They've repainted it all. There's a new oven. The bathroom looks a bit dowdy. But like for your first place, $298,000. Now, we were talking about paying $184 or so a week, or $185 a week, if you were just paying interest only. So, you could have that for about $1,000 a month.
I think that's a bargain.
And you're paying off your own home.
All right. Well, if you want to go out for the flat inspection on the weekend, I'll come with you. I'm happy. And Paul will come to the auction with you and we will be your silent bidders.
Well, that one's already sold. So we've got to keep on checking out those bargains.
Oh, yes, it was sold. Sorry, it's on the list. Yes, anyway. Okay. There's your rates check for this week, folks.
Whoa.
Hi. Come on in to our house on Joy 94.9.
I am excited about our next guest tonight. We've got Veronica Kipros in the studio. Now, Veronica is an Airbnb host.
A super host.
Thank you for correcting me there. She's a super host. She's a lovely lady. She has a world of knowledge regarding how to Airbnb a property, how to deck out a property with Airbnb, how to insure a property with to make sure you're fully covered in an Airbnb. And she's going to fill us in on all the do's and don'ts as well as about being an Airbnb operator.
That's enough for us. Welcome, Veronica.
Thank you so much.
Look, it's so good to have you here. Now, we've had a little chat before the program. I've got an Airbnb apartment and we have a little bit in common because I've only just become a host just over a month ago, and it's actually quite an interesting thing. But to have a guru in the studio, as we say, we call in the experts. You're the expert.
Oh, thank you. Well, I don't know that I've got enough time on the program to really sort of give you too much of an insight because I can tell you there is an awful lot to know, and I'm still learning every single day. Every day that I've been involved, has been a learning experience.
How long have you been doing it?
When did you start?
How long have you been in the Airbnb business?
Look, I started hosting in my own home in 2014, early in 2014. So I hadn't heard of Airbnb before that, but in 2013 I went to New York with my kids, and they being young people knew, you know, all the ins and outs of what's the latest thing to do, and they said, oh, you know, we booked this apartment on Airbnb, and so that was my first experience of it, was staying in an apartment that was booked on Airbnb. And then when I came back, I'd only I was just building a new house, a townhouse in Williamstown, where I lived. I was about to become an empty nester. So my last, you know, 26-year-old child was at home, but she was just about to buy a place with her partner.
Leaving home.
Yeah, yeah. I was already, leaving. You know, at the bottom lip was quivering, and, you know, like I was already, you know, I was already sort of being quite emotional. And the kids, and they said, look, you really should consider doing some Airbnb.
Well, and the champagne corks just started popping.
Well, they did. And, you know, I'm a well-known party animal anyway.
One of these days we'll get you to tell us all about those Sitges stories,
well,
Veronica.
Oh, God. That's a whole other program.
So your daughter moved out and you thought, look, I've got some extra rooms. Well, what am I going to do?
Yeah, that's right. And when, as I said, you know, I'd built the house from scratch like just before that, and I had actually designed the bottom half of the house to be quite self-contained. So so the bottom half of the townhouse is kind of like two bedrooms and an ensuite bathroom and a laundry, which I sort of planned to be a bit of a kitchenette. So the laundry's got like a bathroom, fridge in it, and, you know, a microwave and that sort of thing. So really somebody could live very comfortably there in that bottom half. And so I thought, okay, well, that's obviously the perfect space to do Airbnb in.
Yeah.
And so I started in my own home and immediately loved it, and it was very successful right from the word go. But I guess there's a few things to know about, like, Airbnb hosting. There's a lot of people do it for different reasons, and they have different sorts of properties. So broadly speaking, you might say there's in-home hosting, which is what I'm talking about here, where you live in the residence and you might be letting out a spare bedroom or something like that. So I would call that in-home hosting. And then you have scenarios where you might have, say, an investment apartment or a holiday home down on the beach or whatever, where you are letting the entire property. And that's really a very different scenario and a different hosting experience altogether.
It's actually interesting, though, because either way, we end up meeting some amazing people as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's been the joy of it, especially with the in-home hosting, is I have had guests from all over the world. I'll take, in my property, I can accommodate four people at a time. So I tend to get, I might get like one couple, I might get two couples having a holiday, you know, or a weekend away or whatever.
You're a family.
Yeah.
And where do your in-hosters come from? All over the world or a few from Aussie as well?
Well, I actually did a bit of analysis last year because I did a bit of a talk for one of the local councils, and so I actually sat down and did some stats and worked out where people had come from. And turns out that 60% of them came from overseas. And I actually also looked at the I sort of broke it up into the demographics were Australian, Asian or other international. They were kind of the three categories. That's how I kind of categorised people. The majority were Australian, but very, very close second was Asians. And of the Asians, I have to say that the majority are Chinese. The Chinese love me. They just love me.
I've done both. I've Airbnb'd an entire apartment and also a room in an apartment.
Yep.
And I have to say that having a room in an apartment where the owner's still there is great as a resource because he was incredible. He had maps of everywhere, so, you know, recommendations for where to eat, where to go. And it's fabulous to have that on tap.
Well, I just recently stayed. I've just come back from overseas, from a month overseas, and I stayed in five different Airbnbs while I was gone. And my two best experiences, one was in Vienna, which was a whole apartment, and the other was in a very similar apartment in Prague, but the Prague one was actually in the home with the hosts. But it was a very big apartment, and I actually had my own bedroom, which had an ensuite bathroom and my own little lounge area. So even though we were living within the home, we didn't really... We sort of bumped into each other morning and evening and we'd sit and have coffee and have a drink and what have you. And then I'd go out and do my thing and they went to work. So It was great.
And what would people do if they had a spare room or rooms at their homes at the moment and they were considering doing some in-hosting? Would they contact Airbnb first, obviously, if that's what they want to do? Would, I mean, you obviously highly recommend it and it's been successful to you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What's the screening process as far as people coming into your home? You obviously get to say yes or no first.
Yeah, you do. Well, look, the Airbnb platform is probably of its type or of that those types of platforms. It is the best, without any doubt, because you do have the ability to review and screen guests. If you don't like the look of someone for whatever reason, you know, they've not come, you know, not communicating well, or they're not coming across the
or
way you would like.
Previous
bad reviews. Yeah. You can see them.
Oh yeah, that's quite amazing. Well,
yeah, I've been they can also see your reviews.
Your reviews.
Yeah. So if you come across as a bit of a crummy host, or you know, if you're a bit of a snarly host in the morning or something,
you think you're offering a dating service, it's going to come up on your reviews, right?
It can come back to haunt you. Like everything in life for us, it can come back to haunt you.
I found a couple of interesting reviews because you might have somebody that says, oh, you know, I didn't really like this place very much. And then you might see that the host says, you know, this person didn't observe the house rules. They were, weren't on time and they left the place in a mess and blah, 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 blah. So it's actually interesting. I just have a look through some of those just to see the catfight that's going on. But it's interesting because you get both sides of it and you can sort of go, you know what? And as an Airbnb host, I'm sort of going, you know what? No, I don't think I'm available that night for you or I can reject that person.
You're listening to Our House on Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are. You're listening to Our House. It is 9:34. We are so lucky to have...
Who do we have here?
Veronica Kipros in the studio tonight. Now, we've just been talking about
in-house... What does Veronica do?
Airbnb.
Ah, yes.
Super host.
Oh, she is a super host. Mm. Wonder Woman. We've just been talking about in-host... having somebody come into
in-house,
your home.
In-house, like at your home, yep.
What I liked about what Veronica was discussing while we were at the break was you should just try it, right? There's no reason not to.
I think a lot of people agonise for a long time before taking the plunge and actually doing it. And once you start doing it, you think, well, what was I worried about, honestly?
Yeah. So you could register online and become a host and then just have one booking and see how you go.
Well, that's right. I mean, you take a booking. And the thing is, you can block the calendar out. You can make your place as available as you wish. You know, there's nobody putting a gun to your head
to
rent it out all the time.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to only make it available for this weekend in 3 months' time or whatever, you can do that. You know, you can block it out as you wish.
Now, Veronica, since 2014, when you started in-house home hosting. I knew I was going to have trouble saying that. Now, you've gone on from there. You've taken the plunge and you've taken on other apartments and houses and you've become a host in other aspects. So tell us about that whole process.
Well, I've now got 4 apartments in the inner Melbourne area.
Wow.
So they're all 2-bedroom apartments.
Uh-huh.
I've got 2 in South Melbourne in one building. I've got 1 in Port Melbourne and 1 in South Yarra.
And you still host at home as well?
And I still host at home as well. But at home, like, I don't mind whether I have bookings or not. Like, I'm not in my own home looking to have, like, 100% occupancy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, I need a break from time to time as well.
Exactly.
But in the apartments, of course, I mean, that's a whole other proposition.
It's a business.
I'm not obviously living in them. And naturally you would be, you know, trying to get a good level of occupancy and income.
Now, look, as a new host myself, I'm actually doing the work myself. So I'm changing the sheets and cleaning the bathroom and doing the quick vacuum and doing the rubbish and making sure everything's nice and a few little flowers and a few things in the fridge and all that sort of stuff. So who does all of that for you?
Well, I've got a service that does that. And one thing that I think people are very unaware of is that this whole industry and, you know, the short stay industry, which has now become sort of so public with, you know, the rise of Airbnb, has also generated a massive ecosystem around it, because all of those hosts who have all of those properties, they need cleaning, they need maintenance, they need all kinds of things. And so there has been a huge explosion in those types of
service industries.
Something I'd never thought of,
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, that's great for the economy too. You know, it's creating jobs. So, yeah, I certainly use the service because there's no way I can clean four apartments plus my own home and all the rest of it.
You'd need a man to do that, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, several. Several.
In fact, Russ, a friend of ours, he has three apartments. He and his partner, the two of them, they have three apartments in one block, and he actually goes in with somebody else to help him do it each day. So that's his job. Yeah. Like, his partner's off working, being a whatever he does.
And I know plenty of people.
And he's there doing those three apartments, and he basically knocks all three down with some help. And, you know, that's a way. But you can come up with all different ways of doing that. You could just be the host. Yep. You could just be the cleaner. You could do all sorts of things. So you've got other people doing that for you?
I have, because I've got a day job. And not to mention, it was never my objective to become a cleaner. You know, I don't mind cleaning. In fact, I probably clean to a pretty high level. But really, that's not, something that I aspire to. So I do have a cleaning service and various other, linen hire is an important one. Obviously I don't want to be dealing with linen. But I mean, I have scenarios where sometimes I have all four properties needing to be cleaned on the same morning or the same day.
Well, you can't do all that yourself.
No. Well, in fact, probably no one cleaner could, So that's where, I prefer to use a professional service that would have a larger number of staff who could cope with that.
Yeah. So this is really a business for you, and it's something to generate more income because, this is a return on your investment and this is something that's completely different. It's like a small business.
Well, it is totally like a small business, and it's something that really, it appeals to me on many levels. One is, I guess, that I really enjoy process and systems and creating systems. I mean, I've had a few businesses that kind of, making something really tick along that really appeals to me. Obviously, there's a potential to make a reasonable income, otherwise you wouldn't do it. But it's also brought me into this community. There's a massive community of hosts out there. That's the other thing that people should know. Yeah. It's like, again, a whole other world of people who are all doing this.
Strangely, you should mention that, because there was a conference recently and I saw adverts from Airbnb. Now, I was in my first month last month, so I saw all of this. Oh, come to the Airbnb host meeting. And I'm going, oh, really? I wonder where that is. It was in LA. Did you go to that?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I went to the one in Paris last year as well. Which ended badly, I might add. we had the terrorist attack on night two. So they actually called the whole thing off. Midway.
But tell us about the one in LA. What was on the agenda there?
Well, I think the biggest news at the LA conference was Airbnb has now sort of really reinvented themselves. They've launched a revised platform which incorporates they call it Trips, and really, I mean, the best easiest way to explain it is that Airbnb are going to really be owning the travel process from end to end. They've launched what they call experiences, where, for instance, a host or anybody else might offer an experience on the platform. So I might, for instance, offer cooking lessons. I'll teach somebody to make a German cake or something. And so people can actually sign up on the platform to come to my place and learn how to bake a German
strudel
or something.
A strudel at this time of year.
And as a host, I can offer that on the platform and charge extra, for that.
For that experience.
Experience. And some of those experiences are quite elaborate. There's sort of things that go for 3 days and other things are just little things. But that's so one of the things. Then there's also, there's a whole lot of range of things that are now built into it. And I believe that Airbnb are even, I think they're courting airlines.
Well, I was going to say, are they looking at putting in air packages?
I mean, it's not launched yet, but I know that they've been doing things with Qantas and with other carriers, for instance, with their loyalty programs. You can now earn Qantas points for booking on Airbnb.
Oh, that's great. That's a good idea.
You can imagine that the next step would be you'd be able to book your airfares on Airbnb as well. Wow. So
it's a pretty
big,
it's a pretty big company, isn't it?
It's huge. It's huge.
Billions of dollars worth.
Billions and billions. And they've got the money
to
make
company,
these
Airbnb,
things happen.
So.
Yeah. That's right. But you can see they really want to own the whole travel process end to end.
I think that's a great idea. I mean, there's room for it out there. You've got your Expedias and your Webjets and all of that. And I think Airbnb should, you know, put its big toe in the pond and go for it as well.
Just as if you go onto a hotel booking site, they will offer airfares and possibly side trips and all that sort of stuff.
And so they've got Airbnb's a loyalty market anyway, so they might as well give
But for the traveller, it means that they can book their entire trip end to end on the platform, on the one platform and not sort of bounce off.
Tell me, Veronica, when you were there, did you schmooze with all the other Airbnb hosts?
Yeah, sure.
What sort of things could they tell you?
Look, you know, you've got hosts from all over the world. I guess the thing you really sort of find out about there is I guess the challenges that hosts in some cities have. And, you know, I mean, there are a lot of regulatory challenges at the moment in places like Berlin and London and New York. And so some of those poor hosts are suffering a bit because, you know, the government's, you know, sort of making it a little bit difficult for them.
Making them jump through hoops.
Although Airbnb and New York have come to a bit of an agreement, and it's all to do with the tight rental market there and the fact that, you know, not people aren't able to rent places, but they're coming to a bit of an agreement there. And
well, the thing is, I think, you know, you're not going to be able to stop this. This is a tidal wave. This is a whole alternate economy. And this is not going to just stop, and it's not going
to
go away. So they need to find ways of working with it. And the one thing that, I mean, I know a lot of the guys at Airbnb Corporate, especially in Sydney, that's head office in Australia, and I know for a fact they actually try and work with governments to, you know, try and come to agreements and, you know, it's about sort of... I guess making it fit the community, you know, expectations and all of that. So yeah, and that's where Airbnb is different to some of the other platforms.
Veronica is surfing the tidal wave of Airbnb.
Back here at Our House.
With David, Russ and Paul.
You are back here on Our House.
And I'm Russ, and we are talking to Veronica Kipros from Airbnb, a super host. Veronica, what I've loved about what you've discussed tonight, David has just recently Airbnb'd his apartment that
he owns.
I'm
learning all the time.
And, but you've had a good first month, which we love. You have mentioned off air, and I love this, that there is some ethical things that people should do if they're considering renting a property.
Get to
and
the point,
Airbnb.
Yeah, renting.
Renting. So you're what I like about what Veronica's done, she's a business lady. What is the go with renting and putting it on Airbnb?
Right, okay. Look, the thing is there are a lot of people, quite often it's the people who sort of have more serious businesses that lease properties and then sublet them to, so in other words, they lease it from a landlord and then they re-let it, you know, on to short-stay guests. Now, there is nothing wrong with doing that, but you really do need to disclose that to the landlord and have the landlord's permission in writing. So I have to say, and I know we've spoken about this, Russ, that I actually do lease my apartments and it's with full landlord permission. It's written into the leases. And my landlords absolutely love me and they are very keen for me to renew the leases because I look after the properties. They're always immaculate. My guests are wonderful guests. Well, they have to be because otherwise they would not be appealing. I wouldn't be so successful with them.
It's funny because I was going to say that, you know, we had Liana Slipitsky from the Slipitsky Sisters, a property manager, try and say that on a big night out. But anyway, and they said, you know, you can't sublet. But I suppose, you really have to go through a process of getting, well, you a normal person that would be just leasing a place, you know, you can't sublet.
Well, I mean, if
you go through the process of getting written approval from the landlord, the person that owns the place, then you can do that.
Yes, that's right. I mean, there's a couple of scenarios again here. I mean, one is if you are living in a place, just say you're renting a house or an apartment and you want to let out your spare room on Airbnb, forget about Airbnb, there's lots of platforms.
Yeah.
If you want to do that, you really need to let your landlord know and you need to have their permission in writing.
Yep.
End of story. Uh-huh. Because if you don't do it, then you will probably be busted at some point and your landlord is not going to be willing to renew the lease to you.
Yeah, one of the neighbours is going to complain
or the neighbours, you know, might get, well, who knows, you know, there's all sorts of things that can happen. If you are renting an apartment with the intention of subletting it, you know, the entire place on the short stay market, again, you really need to have the landlord's permission in writing. And there are an awful lot of people, I can tell you, out there who are doing this and don't have the landlord's permission.
It's not on.
No, well, I mean, it's not... illegal just, per se, but you know, it's just not doing the right thing.
Just quickly before we segue to insurance, I'm interested in both you and David's opinion on Paul, who is currently house hunting, wanting to buy, flat hunting, whatever it may be.
Yes.
Is Airbnb putting him out of the market with what, and as you said, many other platforms, so not necessarily just Airbnb, with regards to leasing up all these places and putting them on the short stay market? Is that affecting Paul's ability to go and buy a place somewhere?
I wouldn't think so. That might be the case in some cities. It depends, you know, like, and I'm not sort of completely across like housing affordability issues. You know, you need to have, you know, big studies and things to be able to speak with authority on that. My understanding is Melbourne does not have that kind of a problem. There certainly are those problems in big cities like Berlin and others. So, but if we're talking about Melbourne here, I would not think that's a concern. I would say that as a landlord, if you're looking at buying an investment property and you know, with the prospect of letting it to somebody, obviously, to make income, you know, you've got a couple of options. You can let it to a long-term tenant, and I think everybody could probably tell you about some horror stories about, you know, what apartments and properties look like after you've had somebody living in it for 5 years. Or you could let it to either become an Airbnb host yourself and let it on the short stay market, in which case you're going to, you know, need to have the property maintained beautifully, and you know, you're probably going to make it possibly a better income if you do it well. Or the other thing is, if you're a landlord and you don't want to have the hassle of being, you know, the Airbnb host yourself, and you say, look, you know what, I just want somebody in there long term, I just want to collect the rent. Well, there's a couple of options there as well. I mean, there are property managers, property management companies who will act as the host and act on your behalf and manage that property on the short stay market. And there's plenty of those. Again, as I said, there's this whole ecosystem of people springing up. Or the other thing is, you get a tenant like me. So I'm an Airbnb host and I'm your long-term tenant.
Yeah, that's
true. I think Dave's got a question for you.
Yeah, no, look, I've just had a message in. It's not actually a question. Do you have owner's court permission? Legislation will change this soon. Now, I checked this out because I was actually the chairman of an owner's corp for about 8.5 years, a very large owner's corp. And in fact, most buildings do not have in their regulations anything about Airbnb. And in order to change that, it takes a majority of owners in order to change the owner's corp rules for any specific building. If it's a small block, that can be done quite easily, but it has to be done, you know, through the normal process. In larger blocks, it will probably never happen because many of the owners and investors will be overseas ones, and it's very hard to change those rules. Another SMS was also saying, more than landlord's permission, yes, they're making it harder for long-term tenants. Well, in fact, you've just proved to us, Veronica, that you are a long-term tenant.
I'm effectively the long-term tenant.
And
that's the relationship.
When we think about one-bedroom apartments and how many have gone up in the, certainly in the inner city of Melbourne, and many of them are empty, and we're talking about quite an oversupply coming up in 2017 of one-bedroom apartments.
On.
It's probably picking up some of the slack there. So, you know, it's interesting to hear, and thank you for your comments too, for sending those in, because we're always interested to find out what you're thinking about as well.
I'm sure now, both of you have had people from the outer burbs come in and use your inner city apartments.
All the time. I'm having a lot of people come in for a special night in town. Or, you know, they might want to stay in Williamstown or in South Melbourne or wherever. Tell us about insurance, because I'm concerned about that and I'm trying to negotiate insurance at the moment. What happens in that sense?
Well, when I started hosting, I realised that there was a problem with insurance because and the more I sort of, I guess, fraternise with hosts and, you know, you start talking, you find out that there's a huge level of misunderstanding, ignorance and just misinformation out there. So a lot of hosts who are in-home hosting would think that their house and contents insurance, they'll say, okay, I've got my house and contents, I'm fine. That's not actually the case.
No, because it's a short-stay accommodation. It changes the whole status.
Yeah, that's right. So in most cases, and there may be a few rare exceptions, but in most cases, your house and contents will not cover your host, your guest risk.
Yeah.
So if something happens to the guest, if they, I don't know, fall down the stairs or something horrible happens, you are not covered. And that is a massive, massive risk.
Airbnb has some insurance in place.
They do. They have the host protection insurance, but that's that only covers you for $1 million of public liability. In the Australian scenario, really, $1 million is not nearly enough.
Yeah, 20 it's normally million 2. Is, no, yeah, no, 20 million, 20. That's right, yeah. So it's like insurance light.
Yeah, that's right. And exactly. It's like insurance light. And the other thing is it's really not being tested. I've been trying to get a PDS of that product from Airbnb for, you know, probably 2 years. You can't get a PDS for it. Now, would you trust an insurance policy that you could not get a PDS for?
No.
Nobody knows what the details are. Nobody.
But I have also heard of hosts claiming, certainly on property. I was talking to somebody recently and they said they had to change all the locks. Airbnb paid for it. And there's certain things that they will cover through their insurance.
Well, yeah, there are certain things. Yeah, and that's a different thing. That's called the host guarantee. And that's like a whole different set of circumstances. Okay. But really, I think, most hosts that I speak to generally accept that you do need your own individual insurance.
Yeah, well, public
and certainly
liability.
If you've got an apartment, this is the other thing.
You only need a plumber to come and work on your apartment. And if he, you know, falls over and breaks his leg, there you go.
All sorts. The other bit of sort of misinformation or misunderstanding out there is that people say with an apartment like yours, they say, oh, look, there's lots of landlord insurance out there. I'll get some of that. And that's true. There are lots of landlord products out there.
Doesn't cover you for short stay accommodation.
Most of them are not applicable for short stay. They're
now
only
listen,
for long
stay. Listen,
you
two, I'm going to have to break into your banter because we have a segment that we have to do. Veronica, we're going to have to ask you back. But stay right where you are because we have our favourite segment on now. Paul, I think you're ready. Here we go.
Oh, really? What could it be?
Like sands through the hourglass.
What is it?
So are the days of our lives.
Lance. Goodness, it's days of our Lance once again. Did you enjoy it last week, Russ?
I loved it. Lance, are you living in inner city Melbourne yet?
More importantly, did you enjoy it last week, Lance?
I did. It was great. Yeah, thanks.
You're
in desert, isn't it?
Yeah, look, tell us, Lance, what has been happening in Days of Our Lance this week? Because you are going to move up to Melbourne eventually at some stage from Frankston. What have you been up to in this past week?
Slowly going through some documents and things like that to sort out, not a stack of them, we just started, but chucking out stuff I don't need and just sorting out what I need and where to put him into categories to take with me.
So basically you're starting to do the decluttering process. Now, this isn't something you can do overnight, I suppose.
Look, it's taken me a couple of years just to get my head around it to do it.
Yeah, get you in the right headspace, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And there'd be things that there would be emotional ties to, and there'd be things that you just sort of go, what on earth am I keeping this for?
That's for sure. And, I find that if you get tired, don't do it because you tend to want to keep things when you get tired.
True.
So you've got to be in a brutal mood.
Lance, have you been doing any house hunting or flat hunting up here in the city yet?
Since I talked to you last, no, but I have had a look around over the last 6 months or so, Caulfield area. I had a look around the Footscray area.
Oh, yeah, that's a nice place.
That's a lovely area. Collingwood, Carlton, those areas. I've been to a few places and had a look at a few apartments. And CBD as well.
Good.
Okay.
Well, I've lived in the CBD, but, you know, there are so many exciting places up around the inner city. So, I mean, it's going to be an amazing transformation. And, of course, we're going to get an update from you every week. So
follow you.
This week is really declutter. Don't do it when you're feeling emotional or when you're tired because you will feel emotional. And what are you going to do with stuff that you don't want? Are you going to donate it? Are you going to sell it? Are you going to have a giant garage sale?
Look, I've already got rid of a lot of stuff, mainly given away to friends, down to the local RSPCA.
Yeah, well, that's great.
Great.
My son, he's got a garage out the back, and that's full of machinery and old. They've got a 100-year-old engine out there that I've got to check out, which I'll be selling if I can. And there's, chuck out give away, take to an op shop. I think a lot of the things that I have some emotional attachment to, I'd rather give to friends.
Yeah. All right. And also, I suppose at some stage you're going to have to sort out what you want to take with you in your new life in Melbourne. Look, Lance, we will catch up with you again next week for Days of Our...
Lance.
And it's great talking to you once again this week.
Great talking to you. Thanks very much.
Bye, Lance.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.